It's 2 years ago. Hard to believe that it was 2 years ago. A group of us headed down to the Dominican Republic to work with the youth there at putting the second story on an addition, or the part of the, I guess you'd call it, the Sunday school wing of our sister church. On the very first day, and I don't know if Izzy back there remembers it, but Pastor Miguel, who is a jack of all trades, including a builder as well as a pastor and a teacher, he instructed me to kind of guide the process of building the ladder that would allow us to get from the bottom to the top of that structure, which is where all the work was going to happen. They did have another ladder, a kind of a wobbly steel ladder that I never trusted, but he grabbed 2 2x4s that were sitting around. They were 12 foot long, not this much, but, and he laid them down on the ground, and there were a bunch of not really this nice looking pieces of wood, but he said, okay, now just build your ladder. And so, okay, got the hammer, got the nails, I laid out, you know, how far apart I thought they should be, took the wood, we cut it, put it down, and started nailing. Now, does anybody notice a problem? Anyone? What? No? No, that's not the problem. The problem was that I was building it using the weakest part of the 2x4s. In leaning this against the building, which would be stronger? This edge or that edge? This edge. I was about halfway or more done with building this ladder when he came around and just told me, let's take all those nails out and let's redo it. And we did. And built a ladder that was, for us, our means of getting up and down the entire week. I would like to suggest that faith is a bit like that ladder. Okay? There's a number of reasons why I say that. First of all, that ladder is not something that might be purchased in Lowe's, sorry Dennis, or Home Depot. It's not the kind that you would go to that television infomercial. You've seen it where they've got this ladder that can bend this way and this way and all around, and they say it's got the strength of how many elephants or whatever. It's not something that money can buy. Okay? I need to emphasize that because I believe in our society, too often we link our wealth and our money with our faith. And we believe that it is so tied that if only we have enough money, that it will buy us enough faith. Or that money is a sign that we have faith. Which, to me, as I hear the gospel, as I read the Bible, is not true. That may be how the world turns in this particular neck of it, but that's not the news of the kingdom, which we claim is good news. Faith is a bit like this wooden ladder also, in that it is constructed out of materials that are at hand. You don't have to run off to someplace else to get it. It is there. And oftentimes it's made up of scraps You know, these cross pieces, they'd been used before. Probably came off of some pile, as did those 2x4s. Faith is something that comes out of the substance of our lives. It's not something that is, you know, connected to something far away from us that we can't even begin to touch. It is down to earth. It is pragmatic. Another reason why I liken faith to that ladder is that as we work at the process of creating this, and it is a lifelong process, this development of our faith, we need to make sure that we are, if you will, building it. And I know that's a masculine kind of metaphor there. You know, you women can come up with other ways of describing it. But as we build it, we want to make sure that we are hitting the strengths, the strong points of faith, instead of the weaknesses. I mean, sometimes our faith is sort of wishy-washy. You know, it's like, oh, you know, I kind of hope that things work out. I really do, you know, that somehow, some way, everything's going to turn out okay. Is that faith that is like this or like that? Your favorite verse of the Bible depends on which translation you take it from. And here I probably would lean a little bit towards the King James version of it. But it starts out by describing faith as something that is expected. It's something that has substance. It's not something that is just kind of fluff. It says, faith is the substance, tangible almost. I mean, I know faith is not something you can touch, but it is there. It is a substance that of our hope. And hope is not something that is kind of, it's an expectation. It is also conviction, proof almost. You know, the word conviction is something we hear when somebody is up for trial, and if they are claimed to be guilty, they said they are convicted, and they are convicted upon, you know, something called proof. That faith is, if you will, the proof, the conviction of things that you can't see. And why I titled this sermon Pragmatic Hope is because that word for things is in Greek the word, let's see, let me get it right, pragmaton, which is where we get the word pragmatic. It's connected to the substance, the things of our daily existence. Now, in the book of Hebrews, which, by the way, was not written by the Apostle Paul, as some believe down through the years. I mean, all you have to do is read it to realize this is not his pen. And some have even claimed that it was written by a woman. Maybe that's why you like it. Probably, yeah. I don't know who wrote it. But in this particular chapter, the author of this book takes that statement of what faith is and goes through a rogue's gallery, if you will, of the Old Testament. And we, this morning, just heard one portion of it. We had left out the part talking about the patriarchs before Abraham, as well as those who followed Abraham, like Moses and you know, the prophets, and there are a couple women in that list, which is another reason why I think a woman may have had a hand in that, because they got mentioned, which is not always the case. But the portion we heard today was the story of Abraham. A story of a man and a woman who, based solely upon a promise, stepped out by faith. And I got to tell you, this morning, I did take my walk this morning. I did. The doctor said that I could walk as far as I felt I could. I didn't do my 2 miles. I walked down about as far as Pringles and back. But I tell you, walking takes on a whole different nature to me with this dumb thing on my leg. Walking by faith. As I walked, I saw things that I don't normally see because I couldn't cover the territory as fast. And I had to be paying more attention to what's down at the ground, as does faith. Faith is not about looking up all the time and having our minds so set upon heaven that we are disconnected from earth. Faith, in that sense, is very pragmatic. It deals with the substance of our lives. And for Abraham and Sarah, you know, the substance of their lives involved, well, not very much, to be honest. You know, they weren't walking around with a couple household, you know, like us, you know, as I'm thinking about the possibility of, you know, someday moving out of a house, you know, and all the junk that I've got all over the place. You know, how many moving vans it's going to take. They had what could probably fit on the back of a camel or two. Plus, and it wasn't just them, please know that there was some family also going along, but they were walking, thinking about their future, with a promise for so long unrealized. You know, promise of a home, promised land, and the promise of kids, descendants. Pretty important promises. Now, if you are tempted to believe that this patriarch and matriarch of faith didn't have their fears, well, think again. All you have to do is read the book of Genesis. They were full of them. They're full of doubts as they walked by faith, as are all who walk by faith. Doubt and fear are a part of the substance which God uses to develop faith in our lives. Oftentimes, faith doesn't truly come real until that point when it seems like the promise is gone. Faith comes to flower when we face into our fears and our doubts. When, for instance, that dread C word comes along, Carl, or Monica, or Lois, or when that D word comes along for me. You know, divorce. When those other doubts and fears come to play, and they do. And when do they come to play? They often come to play at night. It seems so natural that God often comes in the dark of night, like in the story we read earlier. God is there all through that, reasserting the promise. And that voice, which is also a voice not necessarily audible, but it's there. Just like faith is dependent upon a sight that is not this kind of sight. It's an insight, like it is an in-hearing. And it's something that leads somewhere. You notice? See if I press the right button. Oops, wrong button. That ladder went somewhere. Okay? Notice I say to Ricky the ladder. I don't know if anybody else. Did you go up that other ladder, Izzy?
I wasn't there for that.
You weren't there for that part?
No.
Oh, that's right. You weren't there. Okay. I guess I'm the only one here who was. Okay. I know I didn't use it. I used the one that I helped build. Going up and down. And, you know, together, we worked on building that second floor. And that's a good thing. Let me show you the end result. Oops, keep pressing the wrong button. Oh, there's another picture of what we were doing. That's what it looks like today. I got this picture from a friend who had recently been there. And let me show you the another one. That's how it looks today. Now let me just fill you in a little bit of difficult things and ask for your prayers. Right now, the Dominican Church is going through some real growth pains. There's some friction there between the Dominican Church and the Church in the United States. And it centers around money. You see, one of the exports from our country has been just what I said about linking of money to faith. And in the Dominican Republic, this is especially toxic because they have a system that goes back many, many years of dependency. That had its roots in a lot of different things, and I don't want to go into the history of that. But right now, they have perceived, some of them in the church down there, that our brethren representatives down there are holding back on giving lots of money. They want the money. Show me the money. When in our relationship with them as a denomination, because they are their own denomination, they are a sister church. They're not the Church of the Brethren just in a different country. They are a sister church, just like our church in Nigeria is a sister church. We have sought to emphasize a non-dependent kind of relationship with them, for them to depend upon the substance that God has provided for them already and not be looking for somebody else to do for them what they could do for themselves. As a case in point, we have work camps, and work camps are good, but we have to be very careful at work camps when we go into foreign countries. Because, for instance, one work camp went down there and painted a church. And there was another church which needed their place paid. And they could have done it. They could buy the paint. They could get the brushes. They could paint their church by themselves. But they were waiting for a work camp to come down from the United States to paint their church. It's kind of a dependency that we don't want to develop. We want a kind of relationship that is based in the freedom that we have in God. A God who provides for us what we need. You know, when I was in Nigeria, you know, there's a church that has, I mean, it's still just like this church in the United States has had going through its growing pains. But their growing pains are different. They're not expecting money to flow from the United States over there. They have a more mature outlook. And they see that they can do it on their own. In fact, they're a larger church than we are, size-wise. But what they do want, what they do crave, is a deeper relationship with the church here. For more missionaries to come over. Not just missionaries to come and think they're, you know, they're just bringing the gospel, because the gospel's already there. But to come and to be in relationship with. That's a good thing. Faith faith is the substance. The substance of things hoped for. It is the conviction, the proof even, of what we cannot see. But it is real. Very, very real. And so as we pray for one another, as we pray for our brothers and sisters in the Dominican Republic, as we pray for our sisters and brothers in Nigeria and elsewhere, we are praying for a deeper faith that we can depend upon. A faith that will get us up to where we need to be. Amen?